so.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. And just let us know any citizen for any comments. And reports from the chairperson. Basically, the only thing is I want to welcome everybody to be on this committee. And hopefully what we're going to do is, especially tonight, because we got the meeting, we're going to try to cut it a little bit short so we can attend the youth and governance meeting. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about it was trying to discuss some of the things that we're going to do during the term of this meeting. So if you guys have any, pretty much any input, or if you want to come up with some ideas, we'll be more than welcome. I met with Joel the other day, and we thought maybe changing some of the rules, and we can talk about it tonight a little bit. One of the rules that I was thinking about coming up with some is the last time when we had the vice chair election, because he kept on going, maybe we should change the rules. If that happens again in the future, we're more than two people would run, so we could change on that. Mm-hmm. So would it be to talk about it now, Joe, or just
we actually have as an item on the agenda.
As an item, so maybe we can put it on the agenda for next.
Well, I mean, we have on the agenda for tonight general discussion about possible rules.
So we'll wait. Okay.
So we can talk about it when we get to that.
And so that's pretty much the only thing I have to say right now. Any committee comments from any of the committee members?
Thank you.
None?
Nope.
Okay. Communications?
None.
And what we're going to do is, I guess we're going to introduce to each other. So, where we want to start? Start on my right here. Go ahead.
Start what?
Just to start for a small introduction so everybody knows who we are.
I'm Mark Nordigan. I'm Supervisor District 21, former Chairman's District. So, you are going from highly experienced to completely brand new here. So, I was former town board member Randall for 10 years, 1994 to 2004, so I do have some background in that as well.
So. Zachary Rodriguez, District 8 supervisor. If he is brand new with 10 years of experience under his belt, I don't know where that puts me. This is my first public office, so I appreciate you guys bearing with me for the next 2 years. If you see me outside of a meeting, you'll probably see me with a baseball hat on and a t-shirt, because that's just the way I am, so don't be scared to approach, though. But that's it. That's me.
Andy Berg. This is my second term, actually, on the legislative committee also. District 10, which is city boundaries, I should say. About all I got for you.
Okay.
I'm John Franco, supervisor for the 13th District. This is my second term on this particular committee, and looking forward to serving another 2 years.
David Hallman, County Board Supervisor of the 7th District. I have been on the Legislative Committee four times. I don't know. I've been on the County Board 10 years. This was the first committee I served on. And I think may have even chaired it at one point, if I recall correctly. My background is in music, classically trained musician. I don't know what else to say beyond that. If you have any questions about anything, don't ever hesitate to ask. I know all kinds of weird, interesting things that you probably won't find from anyone or anywhere else. I can guarantee you that.
I concur.
Your mind is trivial.
If one wants to look at it that way, I suppose you could.
Okay.
Boy Frederick, I've been on this committee 3 different times. I chaired it last term. I was originally elected in 2010, and basically I've been a political rat since before I graduated high school.
Gave me the 12th district supervisor, and actually this is my first time in this committee, so we're all going to learn together. And everybody knows Joe
Cardinal. I'm the corporation counsel. Amongst other things, this committee is my office's oversight committee. I attend the meetings whenever possible. Emily Bruno of my staff is the staff person for the committee.
Emily?
I'm Emily Bruno, and I work in Corp Council, and I staff the Legislative Committee.
You do a good job.
She just expounded on what she said.
Said it better than I did.
Okay, then I guess the first thing that we're going to do tonight is we're going to elect a second vice chair. That's something new, the first time this year, I believe they recommend where the chairman appoints the chairperson and first vice chair. And tonight we're going to elect the second vice chair. At this point, I guess we'll take nominations from the floor.
I would actually like to nominate Supervisor Rodriguez, and there's a reason for that, because I can't explain why we made the change to do the second vice chair if somebody wants to second my nomination.
Okay. We'll give the title right away.
Okay, well, so can I say this?
Did you second
me? I seconded it.
Okay, so that is first
and second? I won't accept second vice chair of this committee. I have got PETA currently. So I would nominate Supervisor Nordigan.
Okay, so Supervisor Rodriguez kind of declined the nomination, and he nominated Supervisor Nordigan. Okay. Did I say it right?
Nordigan.
Okay. Close enough.
Close enough.
I won't mess that up. Okay, so there's a nomination for Supervisor Nordigan. Is that a second?
I'll second.
Second. So we have a first and second. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? If no other nominations are closed. So since we have one, do we have to vote, or we can just take a...
For the awareness of people who were not in the last meeting when this was decided, the idea behind the second vice was so that new members to the committee, or potentially even new members to the county board, could begin to start thinking about paying attention to figure out when they got to be chairs of committees how to run them. So it's good that on PDIC they slotted you there. So
I appreciate it. I do appreciate it.
It makes perfect sense. So that's why I just want to make sure everybody was clear on that.
Sure, no problem. Appreciate that. Okay, do we have to vote, or since there's one, we can just take a roll call vote, or
second motion? You could actually indicate that without objection, it's a unanimous vote.
You guys want to do that, or you want to take a vote? That objection, a unanimous vote? Mm-hmm. Okay. So move.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Approval of March 20th, 2018 minutes. I'm not really sure who was in this committee. I believe
there was four of us.
So did everybody have a chance to kind of look at the meetings and...
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Wojtkowiak and a second by Supervisor Ullman. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Discussion on possible rule changes. Okay, that's one something that I've mentioned before. Is we did go over a little bit. With the last election for vice chair, we had more than two people running, and they kind of kept on going. So what we're thinking is maybe kind of change the rules, and I will do it if that ever happens again. One of the suggestions that I came up with is maybe to use it with like a regular election, where if there's more than two people, there's a primary, and the top two vote carriers will move on to the general. That way we'll be revotes for a long time. So I don't know how you guys feel on that.
I'm close to that. The only thing is, in the elections I've done with other organizations, the lowest vote total person just got cut off and then cut off again, because we had three this time. There could be an instance of four,
six,
five.
That's why I mentioned, I was thinking about just having the top two.
Either way,
will go on, so there will be just one cut off, and that's it.
I like the combination of the two, with say there's five people, so maybe one drops off, and then there's four.
Right.
You know, and then each election drop one off until it's two.
I like that idea because you never know who's going to decide to drop out themselves or...
I don't have a problem with either of them, but right. I like this one more. Just the last one, lowest total, just keeps dropping off and dropping off. Because obviously, you could have a winner after you get, well, with us, 12. So 12 could come up right after that first one drops off, right? So, you know, until you get your 12 votes.
It depends on many. To worry about if there's a tie.
Right.
Say someone's got 2 votes apiece.
Right.
What would you do on a case like that with
If we had a rule that said that the lowest vote getter drops off and we had a tie for last place?
So the lowest vote getters are 2 people then.
Well, both are the lowest vote getters.
But the problem is, what about if it's only 3 people running?
In that case, though, the highest would still case, win because you would be over 12.
It's 19 to 2 to 2.
I mean, 2 people tie.
Right.
It doesn't have to be with 2 votes each.
Right,
It can be 4 and 4, let's say, whatever.
Sure. 8, 7.
I'm just saying 7.
So I'm thinking back over the course of the 10 years that I've been here, and the first question that I ask myself is, how often has this situation been a problem? And to the best of my recollection, not really. Usually supervisors find a way in these situations to work things out. In the previous round, you know, I think maybe Supervisor Gens, for one reason or another, perhaps maybe waited a bit too long to withdraw his name so people could reassess their decision making. I don't know that a single situation warrants a rule change. I don't know that a single situation that occurs is necessarily indicative of problems on the horizon that might occur. You don't change policy because of a single instance. You change policy because of a pattern of problems.
Well, it's not a single situation. Actually, I was involved on the county board with 2 situations in the past 12 years, actually. So there was another situation before. Same. And again, that happened, that was in 2010.
What happened then?
Well, there were 3 people running. It just happened that one person got a majority on the first ballot. Otherwise,
How was the chair voted? How was the chair voted?
The chair?
If there would have been 3 people, 4 people running for the chair.
Same thing. Well, it that would be for everybody. Yeah. That would be for everybody, not just for the vice chair.
Right.
That would be something for everybody.
Historically, it's been very rare that it's been a race for chair.
Right.
It's usually been the vice chair becomes the chair.
Right, right.
But there have been,
there have been
instances.
Sure.
Any rule that I would draft would cover both chair and vice chair.
So maybe back to the primary situation where if you have 3 or more for 1
2.
Position, then the top 2 vote getters move on. Then that takes care of any ties at the end. It might be the preferred method, and I understand what last name?
Hallman.
What Supervisor Hallman had brought up. I mean, certainly it could happen again in the future.
It could. And if I may, first of all, I'll say I told this to the chair. One of the other supervisors had already contacted me. I'm putting together some language that would be I guess for lack of a better term, the first option that was discussed, where it would just be the top 2 vote getters regardless. And I expect that that's going to be introduced next month, so probably before this committee in June. I can certainly draft an alternate one that would indicate that the lowest vote getter gets dropped off each round. Speaking for a moment to Supervisor Hallman's comments, for whatever my opinion is worth, and it is simply that, you folks are the supervisors, they are your rules. I tend to agree with Supervisor Hallman. I think that it is reactive to change the rules on the basis of 1 or 2 over the past decade situations. I think we could have, and only a couple people asked me, but the people who asked me, I answered, when we were electing the vice chair, knowing we had 3 candidates, there was no reason we couldn't have suspended the rules
and decided whatever we wanted to for that night without setting a precedent or a change in the rules for you know, I say all time or until we change the rules again. I will tell you that from a strictly parliamentary procedural standpoint, again, for whatever that is worth, Robert's rules, which we follow as a default when we don't have a rule that specifies otherwise, is very clear that you should not drop off the lowest vote getter, because in a situation where you have multiple candidates and you have a situation where we, as we did, where the, if you will, top candidates have a certain base of support, the sense is that that may be, less so I think in a body like ours, but may represent factions or whatever you want to call it on the board, and perhaps somebody who's not one of the top two vote-getters in the first couple of rounds may wind up being the compromise candidate that everybody can coalesce around later on. Again, it just that's the rationale behind the rule in Roberts. Again, the board can clearly do whatever they want to. I'll draft both of these if you want. You'll have them in front of you next time, but like I say, just again, my two cents. I think we could, if we have another situation where we have multiple candidates come up, say, at the beginning of that meeting, we're suspending the rules tonight and here's how we're going to handle the elections. I don't think we could do it midstream. I think we'd have to decide before we start voting.
Sure.
But I mean, we certainly could have done that last month and said, here's how we're going to do it.
I think that's fine on that. The only problem that I see on that, I mean, that's just some benefits, but also the problem that I see it, yeah, if that happens again, but let's not forget, this board might not be there when that happens again. So it will be a new board, and then we'll have to start over again. But, Supervisor?
Well, I guess what I'm saying, good Lord willing, I'll be there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Even if it's 30 years from now?
I'm not going to be able to top Frank's record, I don't think, but I'm hoping to come close. So.
Okay. Supervisor?
To the best of my recollection, and this is something that when I first got on this committee, I was really diligent about doing, mostly because the curiosity was there around particular issues. I don't recall, and somebody can double check this to be sure, I may look it up tonight. I don't think members of Congress, in terms of choosing their leadership, they don't necessarily have a primary situation. You know, the caucus gets in a room and they decide and vet who they're going to pick for what. To the best of my recollection, the same thing happens in the State House. I remember being at a conference of young electeds, and the question was asked to the room of 250. They said, what's the most important vote you ever take? And I said, and somebody goes, the leader, your first vote. And I was like, huh. And it took me a little while to understand the truth behind that. So I think they have it open and not closed off, where the person who gets the least votes, you know, is automatically eliminated, not to have a primary process for us to dialogue when maybe we have three or four people running, I think is good. I think it's healthy. One of the ways that there has been continuity in the county board chair position is specifically because of that, is because people have had those conversations and dialogue, sometimes before the meeting, sometimes during, to vet that out and make those decisions. That's healthy. That's what helps bring us together. If we institute something now by making a change, it honestly would disrupt that.
One thing that occurred to me is we went, I think, 7 rounds, I believe.
Yes.
What would have happened, theoretically, if no one dropped out? How long would it go? It could, I mean, eventually, you know, you would think someone would drop out. But, I mean, theoretically, we could have been there all night. I'm just thinking of a possibility. You know, it probably wouldn't happen in reality. People would probably get tired. Someone's probably going to drop out at some point. But, you know, we did go 7 rounds. That was a long time. And who's to say it couldn't go 10 rounds, 15, 20? I mean, do we stop when someone finally screams and says, all right, that's enough, somebody drop out? You know, I mean, you can't force someone to drop out. It has to be the person, one of the three candidates to drop. And you can't say, you know, you need to drop out because I'm getting tired, I want to go home here. Now, again, that might be a total exaggerated scenario, and it probably is, but do we have a mechanism to stop it if it goes indefinitely?
Well, and that's one of the reasons they're working about coming up with something, because, again, technically, and correct me if I'm wrong, though, please, someone, if they want to push it, they can always get one vote. In other words, I'm running, I'm going to vote for myself, keep on voting for myself.
Right.
So it could go on indefinite, really,
yeah.
Because if someone wants to...
Basically, it's a game of chicken. Whoever gets tired
or
wants to throw in the towel.
Yeah. First.
Yeah.
I agree with points of everybody, what everybody said, Supervisor Franco, in that I don't think that's out of touch. I mean, we were only 3 rounds away from 10 rounds of voting last time.
Right.
But I agree with Supervisor Holman in that I have never really been one to agree with legislation that's made or rules that have been made as a reaction to something. You know, I think if we look at the history of this, this isn't something that typically happens. You know, maybe it's happened twice in the last decade. And I think, you know, when we start to make rules for things that have yet to happen, I think we can get ahead of ourselves. If this becomes, you know, in 2 years we see this problem again, then I think this committee needs to revisit this. You know, whether whoever, any of us are on the committee or not, needs to revisit this and saying, okay, now this is becoming a reoccurring problem. But at this point, I don't think it's warranted a rule change.
In suspension of the rules, do we have to take a vote on, is it going to be drop off at the last one? Is it going to be, oh, it's going to be, you know, we're going to treat it like a primary? How many different scenarios could that come up? Which one do we vote for?
The motion to suspend the rules would have to specify what it would be.
Could you have more than one, you know, so someone moves to this, seconded, then it just goes through? Or someone says, well, I want a motion that we do it this way. So the first one dropped. So does there have to be a specific? I mean, I don't want to get us into a quagmire here, but will this get us into a quagmire?
You know, there's a caveat that I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that if the motion to suspend the rules was made to do it one way, and someone wanted to do it a different way, they could try to amend the motion to suspend the rules
okay.
to change the way it's going to be done. In any event, the motion to suspend the rules will require a 2/3 vote.
Right.
So
oh, it, will.
It's not something that's going to be done on a whim.
So it has to be 2/3.
To suspend the rules, yes.
which
again, I mean, if it appears that it's the will of the body that this is an issue, that shouldn't be a problem, you know.
I shouldn't say this because this is being recorded, but if you check back, I think it probably holds fairly true. If you ever notice a county board meeting that goes past 9 o'clock, dare I say 9:15, 9:30, people start to get kind of punchy. It's a really interesting phenomenon that occurs. Doesn't matter what the business is at hand. And someone will inevitably leave the meeting permanently and go home. I've seen that happen a number of times past a certain point. I've seen others where they will lump agenda items together and just pass them all at once after the clerk has read them so we don't vote on them individually. You really have to have trust in the people that you work with, that they have a functioning brain and know how to work these problems out as they come on the fly. And like I said before, we've been really good about doing that. And we will continue to be so as long as we are committed to functioning in that manner. And if it's something that we can institute after we've had 7 rounds and 2/3 of the body feels, hey, this has gone far enough, let's institute something that we can cut this off, that's fine. I don't know that we have to do this here like this.
Well, could we write something into the rules that say that we could, or into the procedures that say at a certain point, if X amount of, I don't know how many rounds have gone and no one has dropped out, that an option is available to suspend the rules if 2/3 of the majority, without changing the rules, can we put in some sort of an addendum or amendment to say that we can suspend the rules if that happens in the future?
That option is always there.
So it's not something that we should write in, that's just something that we can always do at any time.
We really
it
we have
wouldn't matter.
Hold on, one at a time. Supervisor. Go ahead.
While I see the idea, I'm going to side with Supervisors Rodriguez and Holman and Corporation Council. that I think can bring on the idea of I'm just going to hold out. Because in 10 rounds, you know, by the 10th one, we're on number 7 now. I think I can hold out for another 3 rounds. Well, then I think you're still kind of playing those games there. I do like the way we're doing it, like it was brought up. You know, you get the factions and then people leaving and and X, Y, and Z happening. I like the ideas. I like them all, but I think we're right in terms of, you know, maybe we should just keep doing what we're doing, and if we need to suspend, you know, we suspend.
Okay. And if I may, at this point, I just kind of want to say, because again, there is going to be a concrete proposal in front of you next month, unless for some reason there's a change.
That's one of the.
This is a healthy discussion, but let's keep an open mind because we also don't want to have a decision made before we get to the meeting where it's on the agenda.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
That's where Mies Corp Council gets nervous.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up tonight to discuss, because that's going to come up. I'm sure it's going to come up.
There will be a proposal.
There will be a proposal. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. I wanted to come up for us. And again,
but again,
I believe it's good to talk about it. There is many things that we have discussed, maybe with rules for the Vetex, that I want to kind of look at. I think this committee should look at it. Not necessarily change anything, but it hasn't been looked at for many, many years, and I think we should look pretty much at it. No. Let's go with an open mind, not to change anything, but just to look and say, this one. But this, I believe, it's going to come up, probably was going to come up at this meeting and was going to postpone it to the next meeting. So just keep in mind.
So essentially what you're saying is there will be a resolution or an amendment to the rules coming up. So do we want to write our own so that the board has two to vote on?
Well, here's what I'm saying. There is a draft that is essentially done that will be in front of this committee next month. I'm also happy, and that like I say, is a pure, I don't know how you would call it. It would indicate that after the first round, only the top two move on. So we'd be talking 2 rounds max, end of discussion. I'm certainly happy to draft a second one that would be an indication that, as was discussed, that after each round, the lowest vote getter gets dropped off and you move on that way. So you'll have at least, if that's the committee's pleasure, I'll write that up. You'll have 2 proposals in front of you that you can either approve one or approve neither.
In committee next month, you mean?
I can certainly have it for next month's committee.
Might be interesting to look at both.
Well, my thought was combining, at least do this, is take a look at your suggestion. If there's 3 candidates, the top 2, if there's 4 or more, which, God bless, it could happen, then the lowest is eliminated. That's sort of, because there has been in history where it's gone on for hours in Washington, where they didn't pick a leader. Not in recent history, but it has happened.
I want to understand the process of suspending the rules. So we get somebody nominated and seconded, somebody else nominated and seconded, then we get a third or a fourth or a fifth. Prior to any voting, that's when we would have to say, hey, I move that we suspend the rules, and that's when it would take place, or the voting can take place at any time. Then somebody can move to suspend the rules.
Mm-hmm. Without having looked deeply at the question, I would believe you would have to set the rules before the election starts. So if you're suspending the rules to say this is how we're going to do it, I think you'd have to do that before you started voting, not midway through the process. But I am prepared to be wrong. And again,
I would like to know that prior to me voting in either direction, because I think the suspension of the rules, which takes a 2/3 majority, should be up front. But if it's allowed to be later and we can't get it done after 2 or 3 votes, then there would be no reason why we couldn't then suspend the rules. But if that's not allowed, that may persuade me to vote a different way.
I will certainly look at that question.
All right, thank you. And many times when that happens, you know, things change. Mm-hmm. People change. You know, there was a discussion just before the last election to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The lowest vote getter will go out. They agreed, 2 minutes later, somebody changed their mind and said, no, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So things happen. But this, I think it's a very healthy discussion. It was worth it because if something is going to come up by the next, either we do it or somebody else is going to do it, or both, and we can choose from there.
So I would ask then, Joe, if you would be willing to then draft the two different versions, where one, the top two go on, and you know the second being the lowest voter, and we go one at a time.
Every
should
round,
there be numerous?
Every round, the lowest one will go.
That way we have two to look at. And if one's going to the, you know, if they're both going to the board as a whole, then they, we can say, look, as a committee, this is what we looked at, this one, this is where we stand on them.
If we do prepare the two of them, just to know what the rules are, basically, is if we do prepare the two and we vote on one, do we have to bring both of them to the board, or no?
Generally, you're getting to a very interesting question about the role of the committee and what happens if something gets a negative vote in the committee. I've always believed that the committee is making a recommendation to the board, either favorably or unfavorably. As a practice, generally speaking, if something fails to get a affirmative vote in committee, it tends to just end there. In this instance, what I think would probably be most appropriate, and again, it would really be up to the committee to decide, but okay. I would think what would be most appropriate would be to say we had two competing proposals in front of us. This is the one that the committee prefers. Obviously someone could then on the floor amend that one and change it to the one the committee voted down.
Right. So basically, that was my. So we could just bring the one that the committee
voted. I would suggest the committee bring forth one, but indicate that you had two.
Okay. Yeah. So yes, we're going to try to do that for the next meeting. Anything else on rule changes or anything? And this was done basically on this rule. One of the other things, as I mentioned before, I like to kind of revisit pretty much all the rules and code of ethics as we go along to discuss, not to necessarily change anything.
So will future committee meetings also be all of the county policies? I know in the past, former county board chairman Joe Clark said that one of the prerogatives of the legislative committee he felt would be to go through all of the county policies, and quite frankly, was wise. For a two-year period, we actually did do that, and I think it was quite helpful to find some hiccups.
Yes, that's what. That's what I like to do. And again, not to make any. A lot of us. I mean, I've been on the board this my fourth term, you know, but never another. And I tried to get involved, but I don't know all the rules. I don't think anybody really does it. And once in a while, it's good. Well, that's what I say. But I think it's worth to take a look at it and see what's so in that way everybody will know. Okay, I believe we discussed. I can mention that now about the letter that we're planning on.
I got a draft that you can look at.
Okay. Should we just pass it by?
If you want, sure. And again, I mean, it is just a draft at this point.
Okay, pretty much what it is we're thinking about, we're sending a letter to all the legislators, Kenosha County legislators, basically to extend them an invitation if they ever want to come to one of our meetings. They're more than welcome. And from time to time, we can invite them to do it, to bring us up to date what's going on in Madison, because I think it's worth. Also, another good thing is to invite a member of the WCA to come at one of our meetings and go through all, because they're lobbying the legislator there in Madison. I attended a meeting a couple of weeks ago, the original meeting of the WCA. It was very interesting and informative about it. Pretty much legislation is not in session right now, but what they were talking already is on what we should look for the next session and maybe come up with some ideas that we'd go over and say, maybe you should do this year, you know, for Kenosha County. So that was one of the things. I don't know if you guys want to take a look at this year. And we can probably have it for the next meeting, and then we'll send it to all the Kenosha County legislation in Madison.
Are we concerned if anyone's going to have a primary or an election this time and wait till after November to to have them come, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't really matter. We can invite them at any time if they want to come. You know, great.
I believe, Supervisor Rittergen, and you probably know better than I would do, but I believe the deadline for papers is June 1. So we'd know by the next meeting of the committee if there is going to be any progress. Mm-hmm. I would think we'd have an idea by now if there were, but I guess you never know.
Right, I just...
No, it's a good point.
Yeah.
So it's both an open invitation to show up anytime and special select, we'd like to hear from you. I mean, to be fair, county government is the arm of the state. We serve roughly 200,000 people. Like, they sort of should be obligated to come here and talk, regardless as to what political party. That's like what we do. We're created specifically for that purpose.
Okay, and maybe I missed something, but that's what I said to all the county.
Legislators. The question, though, is, so you've extended an open invitation for them to come any time as they see fit, which is great, that's fine.
Right.
But in terms of inviting them individually, that's something you're going to do, and if so, how?
Well, I don't know.
Because we've had issues with them coming and fighting with each other.
Oh, sure, no, I don't want, that's what I say when we invite them individually. My thing, and again, please, that's open for discussion, my thing is to invite them one at a time. But not to leave anybody out. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It makes
let's say today we're gonna, I hate to mention names because that's we're gonna invite Mr. X for next month. The following month we invite Mr. Y. You know, the following month we invite somebody else because we have enough time to invite everybody on a monthly basis. If they wanna come every month, I'll be happy to have someone every single month.
But I also want to go back to Supervisor Frederick's question because that's something that he was really good about working out in the past as far as what legislation is pending, who we can have and when. At certain points in the legislative cycle, it doesn't necessarily always make sense to necessarily have them here. And I think you were really good about figuring out when to have them here and when they needed to not be in terms of that sense. It's a good balance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's why he asked the question about who had primaries before session, in session, out of session, etc.
Yeah.
Is to vet all that out.
Well, it's easy to follow because all of us get the Wheeler report in our mailboxes.
It's, not just that, but as I said before, I did attend the WCA, which they were they go through pretty much everything that is coming up or what's Avengers. And we can have one of them. Well, we get the newsletters, believe on a monthly basis, or
actually, when they're in session,
we can
weekly.
we get it all the times. And what I was thinking, the first one that I would like to invite to come over at one of our meetings, and I'm going to reach to that will be the WCA, a member of the WCA, to be the first one to come over to our meeting and talk to us, and then go from there and start inviting. The other legislators are willing to come. Some of them, they might not come. You know?
Samantha's had difficulty with us, the kids.
No, so, you know, I mean, but I want to extend an invitation to all of them. So nobody's going to be left out, and like Supervisor Ullman said, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether they're Democrats, Independents, or Republicans. I mean, everybody will have a chance to come.
When it comes to introducing WCA to new members, John Hockenwer, that's actually his job.
Yes.
So
I was gonna, I did not want to contact him. I don't know when I bring this up first, and I'm gonna contact him and invite him to come over for the next meeting. Okay. Any other matters that you guys want to talk about it? Anything that you want to bring up? The only thing that I want to mention is our meeting is scheduled for 6 o'clock every month. We're going to keep it at 6 o'clock because awfully we're going to have a guest. That's my goal, to have a guest every month. But if we don't, what do you guys think about switching the meeting to 6:30 that we don't have anybody else coming in? Anybody? Any?
Depends on what the agenda is.
Depends on the agenda, really.
Yeah.
If you don't have much on the agenda, then I suppose we could.
I just say the more consistent, the better.
Yeah, more consistent, the better.
I like
okay,
consistency.
Okay, so then I will just leave it as someone's.
Fine with me, too.
Okay. Anything else, anybody?
Second.
Motion to adjourn by the youngest one. And second, by the second youngest one. So, well, young people, wow. They got it going.
Yeah.
Okay,
excuse me,
I got to
do my locker right.
Hi.
Both, we're adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
No longer.